evam in this manner. Svageha dhamani. All the ropes available in the household. Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. Sandati api. Although she was joining one after another. Gopinam. When all the other elderly gopi friends of Mother Yashoda. Susmayantinam. We're all taking pleasure in this funny affair. Smayanti. Mother Yashoda was also smiling. Vismita abhavet. All of them were struck with wonder. And I'm going to read the previous verse with no purport and this verse and then the purport. So, text 16. This new rope was also short by measurement of 2 fingers, and when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers, too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. Their shortness could not be overcome. 17. Thus, Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household, but still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yashoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. All of them were struck with wonder. Purport. Actually, this incident was wonderful because Krishna was only a child with small hands. To bind him should have required only a rope not more than 2 feet long. All the ropes in the house combined together might have been hundreds of feet long, but still it was impossible to bind. He was impossible to bind. For all the ropes together were still too short. Naturally, Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends thought, how is this possible? Seeing this funny affair, all of them were smiling. The first rope was short by measurement, the width of 2 fingers. And after the second rope was added, it was still 2 fingers. Too short. If the shortness of all the ropes was added together, it must have amounted to a width of hundreds of fingers. Certainly this was astonishing. This was another exhibition of Krishna's inconceivable potency to his mother and his mother's friends. One of our favorite pastimes in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. We dedicate a whole month to it every year. It's such a wonderful pastime. Krishna has a special name just for the pastime. Just like Krishna has other special names like Makanchor and Ranchor for pastimes or Krishna's exhibiting his potencies for the pleasure of his devotees and multiple reasons simultaneously. So many things to say. I'll Krishna is Shaktiman, he's the possessor of potency, and then there is Shakti, the potencies of Krishna. The affairs of creation, it's another potency of Krishna. Srishti Shakti, and he invests that Srishti Shakti in Lord Brahma, and others to assist Lord Brahma. And everything is going on by Krishna's potency. And then there's his marginal potency, the living entity that's either in this place or in that place, and then his internal potency. And in all of his activities with his internal potency, Krishna is doing amazing activity. And his amazing activity is for his pleasure. And Krishna's pleasure is the pleasure of his devotees. Krishna enjoys the loving exchanges with his devotees more than he enjoys anything. Like when Lord Brahma offered this fantastic set of prayers after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, what did Krishna say? Nothing. He didn't say, you know, Hari Bol or thank you or very nice prayers. He didn't say anything. Why? He was eager to get back into the pastime of having lunch with the Cowherd Boys. That's Krishna's happiness. Now, he reciprocated with Lord Brahma in a way that was suited for Lord Brahma, because that's what Krishna does. He reciprocates with all of his devotees. But the internal potency, which also Krishna exhibited, and it's in the prayers of Lord Brahma, what a display he showed Lord Brahma. Spectacular. And Brahma was overwhelmed with the... because he wanted to see. What's the limit? If I steal the calves and cowherd boys, what's Krishna going to do? Maybe he'll cry. Maybe he'll come to me. This is our acharya saying. Maybe he'll come to me and say, oh, Lord Brahma, please return the cowherd boys. I'm too attached. And then I can return the cowherd. He was, by Krishna's arrangement, like Arjuna was like Krishna, by Krishna's arrangement, in a not so clear position, although he's Krishna's eternal associate. Krishna does all these things for some purpose. His pleasure and the pleasure of his devotees, and making sure that the devotee doesn't fall prey to, for us, doesn't fall prey to forgetfulness of him. So his potencies are exhibited in various ways. Now the internal potency is for his entirely for his pleasure, and there's this the persons who he's interacting with in this verse. It's the Mother Yashoda in particular, and the elder gopis. So Krishna's expert with one thing; he does multiple things. He didn't. He wanted to go back to the storeroom and do his thing with the butter and the dairy products, and he didn't want to be bound by Mother Yashoda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he exhibited two potencies, swa-shakti and icha-shakti. And who can stop Krishna's swa-shakti and icha-shakti? Nobody, even if you're Mother Yashoda. When he wants, that's it. So she was unable to bind him. Now, specific in this verse, of course, we know that changed. He withdrew those potencies and then exhibited his Kripa Shakti, and then she could bind him. And Krishna exhibited his Kripa Shakti because of her pure, unalloyed devotion to him. Not that Krishna was testing you. Are you really a pure, unalloyed devotee? It's just an exchange of love. Now, in this verse, whoops, the verse is not there. In text 17, this phrase is used, vismita. It's one of the seven secondary rasas. Vismita means wonder. So, Krishna wanted to inspire or what's the word? English word? Stimulate. There we go. Stimulate ecstatic love of Mother Yashoda in a particular way. And this particular way is the indirect way of wonder. And it worked, because their attachment is for Krishna. And Krishna is exhibiting his potencies in such a way, it's just amazing. Again, one of our commentators says, specific to this verse, the gopis were saying to Mother Yashoda, don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Just this morning, a little string with a little ring on the end of the string, you tied it around his waist and went around his waist. No problem. And now you have all this rope and it's not going around his waist. It's not meant to happen. Just, you know, why don't you accept it? It's just not meant to happen. And her parental affection was such that she was responding, no, no, I must. He's my son. I can't let him steal. But if he grows up and just continues to steal, I have to do this. It's my duty. Even if I can't do it, it's my duty. We know those situations in our devotional service. Even we can't do it, it's our duty. So we do our duty. But she's not on the platform of duty. She's on the platform of spontaneous love, which Krishna reciprocated with. And then another commentary says, Mother Yashoda was wondering, why is it always 2 inches too short? Why not, some other number? Why is it? What is it? What's about this 2 inches too short? Vishwanath says it's to indicate, very important lesson. I remember this regularly. Maybe I should remember it more often. Success in spiritual life requires two things. On our part, effort. And the other thing is Krishna's mercy. And without the combination of the two, you won't see result. Now that doesn't mean if you're making some sincere effort. I can think of some devotees in this room that have, what to speak of others outside this room, who have done very sincere efforts. And the result isn't coming. We see our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, in the first year of the Hare Krishna movement. Why didn't it happen? We can say, we're not sufficiently pure. We don't have strong enough bhakti in order to remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service and things like that. We should think like that. We can't think like that about Prabhupada. And so, what was it? Not Krishna was testing him like, a child in a classroom and you want to see what's he going to do. He was, using Bhakti Siddhanta's language from Brahma Samhita, fire of ordeal. He had a mission and it wasn't happening. The same thing happened with Rupa Goswami. When he was given a mission and everything, because he was fully empowered by Lord Chaitanya to do it, his writing books and discovering the places of pastimes, but he couldn't find Govindaji. And he was in such anxiety. Anxiety we can't even imagine. Transcendental kind. And he tried this, and he tried that. And he went to all the brahmanas, and he searched all the literatures, and where is there some information, and nothing. And then, voila. And it's that in the case of our devotional service, the application point, it's not like Krishna is obliged to do the voila program. Krishna may not. It's all in his hand. The phrase that I like a whole lot, when you surrender to Krishna, this is us now, not Mother Yashoda. When we surrender to Krishna, please understand it's on his terms. Meaning, he can do whatever he wants, just like in Shikshastakam. He can do whatever he likes. He can embrace, he can neglect. He can do whatever, leave us brokenhearted. He can trample us under his feet. He can whatever he likes. It doesn't change the disposition of heart when the heart is pure. So that's Mother Yashoda, and Krishna is reciprocating. And the mercy factor comes after some time. And this being conscious of time here, just some appreciation of Krishna for a moment. Krishna reciprocates with each and every one in ways that are unique for that each and every one personality. And he does so in ways that to a worldly person may look contradictory. In Queen Kunti's prayers, without elaboration because of time, she emphasizes again and again and again and again, Krishna, you're a mystery. I don't understand you. Within you, there are all contradictions. And I can't sort out these contradictions. By her words, she gets it. But she takes the position of humility and says, I don't get it. For example, you who are unborn, take birth. You who have nothing to do, do so many things. You etc. You're a big mystery. And nobody understands you. Nobody understands you. And then she goes on to say how different people understand him. Why he appears. And he appears, the final one, is with which Vishwanath says this is really the reason, to revive the process of hearing, chanting, remembering the Supreme Lord, to awaken our loving devotion for Krishna, exactly what we're doing this morning, or this section of the Bhagavatam, of what we do every month of Damodara, hear this pastime again and again, so it goes deep inside. So we understand more about the mystery of Krishna, because within Krishna is everything. Even these things that are mysterious, vismita, and cause wonder, for the non-devotee, the wonder goes, aha, mythology, because this can't happen. Really, really, do the math, or use your common sense. And you people, you foolish people, believe in these, you know, so many ropes, and it's still 2 inches too short. I mean, I can't take you people seriously. Krishna is reciprocating with those people too. Just like Krishna did with his disappearance pastime. He left a body. He has no material body, but he left behind a body. So they can say, just see, we told you. He's like us. He's just maybe a better version of us, but he's got a body. Look at this. Why did Krishna do that? Why lots of things? Why lots of things? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why, one person I met not so long ago, their question was, I just have one question, was that, why creation? That's a good question. Why creation? No, God can do anything, so just don't have creation. Because in the creation there's trouble and suffering and misery and birth and death, and just don't have one. But he has one by his potency, and it's his potency is reciprocating with living entities' desire. So what to speak when living entities start to have some loving attraction? And to add to this, somebody was discussing with me just yesterday, again, this is on the topic of the inconceivable, but it's Krishna's reciprocation with living entities that need to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, like Krishna's exhibiting the universal form to Arjuna. However, note, Krishna exhibited a partial universal form to Duryodhana. Everybody in the assembly saw it. But Duryodhana, being faithless, didn't believe it. It's a mystic power, and so, you know, I know other people that have mystic powers, and he's not God. So even seeing, or other examples, seeing the opulence of Krishna in this awesome feature, and still don't get it because of faithlessness, because of heart. So Krishna is reciprocating with everyone. Even showing his own, within him, the resolve of all contradictions. Just point to two of them. I've been appreciating these particular episodes from a recent visit to Dwarka and discussing Krishna's pastimes. Shalva. Shalva was in a line of get back at Krishna people. Because when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini to marry Rukmini, Shishupal was supposed to be the one to marry her on that very day, and it didn't happen. And so a whole number of generals went chasing after Krishna. Even Shishupal didn't go, but Shalva went and Krishna defeated him. So Shalva was in a get-back mood. So he underwent austerities. He got a benediction from Lord Shiva that he could have a mystical craft that can fly here and there, and then with that he would attack Krishna. So his plan was, in attacking Krishna, he did mystical things. He would appear and disappear. In two particular episodes, Krishna fired a weapon that shattered the mystical aircraft or Shalva, and Shalva fired back another weapon that hit Krishna's left arm, and his bow, Sharanga bow, fell from his hand. How's that? And then Shalva disappeared, and this apparition, which Krishna knew it was an apparition, but it was an apparition of someone saying, "Oh, Shalva has kidnapped your father, Vasudeva, and he's going to harm him." And then the figure disappeared, and an apparition looking like Vasudeva appeared, and he was decapitated with a sword right in front of Krishna. And the verse says Krishna appeared as if bewildered, or some language like that. And like lots and lots and lots and lots of commentary about this, saying, and then in the next moment Krishna wasn't bewildered. And there's other evidences of such things, when the cowherd boys entered the mouth of a gasura, and when Krishna saw the cowherd boys and cows by the shore of the Kaliya Lake appearing dead, Krishna was bewildered momentarily. So how is this? The all-powerful has his bow dropped from his hand because he's hit, or Krishna becomes bewildered, etc., etc. Is it possible? And of course the answer is, within Krishna is everything. So it's not only possible, it's everything is within Krishna, and it's all done for his pleasure. When Krishna does something, it's for his pleasure. And then the yogamaya potency, by Krishna's arrangement, clears everything. Krishna knows exactly what to do. It's a profound mystery. But that's nice, that Krishna is a profound mystery. And how is one going to understand a profound mystery? Like, how is the tiny, insignificantly tiny living entity going to understand the unlimited everything? Answer: not possible. But to the extent that the unlimited discloses to the limited, then to that extent it's possible. Again, it's this mercy factor. Krishna can disclose as much as Krishna wants to disclose. And to whom does Krishna disclose? He discloses to the devotees. And without devotion, one cannot understand. Just like us, hearing these things, wow. But how much do we understand? Well, theoretically, okay. But those in elevated consciousness are great acharyas that are providing us commentary. It's not fiction writing, the commentary, or imagination, or anything. It's disclosure to them, and they're passing that disclosure on to us, and very kindly, Prabhupada, in the case of this 10th canto and so forth, the followers of Srila Prabhupada providing us with that nectar, the shower of nectar, of the truths about Krishna, Krishna Tattva. And the truth of Krishna is, he's the best enjoyer. And he enjoys in ways that's very different. If our arm gets hit and something drops from our hand, it's very different. And if we see somebody who very dear to us get decapitated, or somebody you don't even know decapitated, we feel something. Where does that come from? Where does everything come from? In the unalloyed place is Krishna. And the alloyed place is over here. So now our life's mission is to get to that place where we're connected with Krishna again. And the method of getting connected to Krishna again is, we all know, the process of primarily hearing and chanting. Then, remembering. And that remembrance isn't like memorizing a sloka. It's awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness through Shravanam Kirtanam. And then, like the rising of the sun, gradually the light becomes stronger, and one can then see things that you couldn't see when there wasn't the light of day. The illumination of self-realization and God-realization occur in a natural way by the process of sadhana bhakti, provided we don't make further offenses. And that's a whole other major topic of not just offenses in this lifetime. Our Acharya Jiva Goswami says, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, we're carrying piles of reactions of past lifetimes' offenses. It's 8:05. So I'm going to... There's so many nice things to say about Srimad Bhagavatam and our Acharya's teachings on these topics. But tick, 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 I'm going to end. See if there's any discussion. Yes, Naikatma hand went up first.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question about how you were describing how Krishna is so inconceivable, and that his position, how can he be understood by the living beings, living entities? Someone may ask, well, if Krishna is inconceivable, are you implying that there's no reason for us to try to understand him?
No.
Or just because you haven't discovered enough about him, you say that he's inconceivable?
No. Inconceivable, my understanding, others may have a different view. My understanding is inconceivable means, it implies, the mind. Because the mind is that instrument with which we can conceive things. We hold ideas like the air carries aroma. The mind carries conceptions of life. The mind cannot reach Krishna. He's inconceivable in that sense. But Krishna can be known by disclosure, which is different than the mind conceiving of something. He remains inconceivable, but he's knowable. Mind doesn't have the capacity to like wrap around and encompass Krishna. Now I got him. He's like this. Mind can't do that. We can get a notion, some inkling, but he still is inconceivable. Yes, Sachinanda.
Jai Maharaj, thank you very much. Great to see you again and hear from you. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschichetati siraye yatatamapi siranam kaschimapati tatvataha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection.
Mm.
Of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Right.
You would think if you achieve perfection, you would know Krishna in truth.
Yeah, perfection is Brahman realization. Of those who achieve Brahman realization, that's transcendental. You know, like the verse from Rishabh Dev's teachings to his sons, there are two kinds of transcendentalists. Some may realize Brahman. Those who realize Brahman, which is the stage of spiritual perfection, transcendentals, let's say, in touch with transcendental reality, hardly one knows Krishna in truth. And then, you know, an extension of that is knowing Krishna in truth, there is perfect, more perfect, most perfect. You know, there's degrees of knowing Krishna in truth. Even in that realm of perfected devotees. That's the Brihad Bhagavatamrita's topic. Who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord? And they're all the recipients of the mercy of the Lord. They're all pure devotees. And then there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect in that realm to know Krishna in truth. Up front, the last question. I'm sorry about the timing. And
thank you, Maharaj. And we have the experience that when an actor performs, he's so absorbed that he forgets who he is and he's playing the role of that acting.
Yes.
And but at the same time, he there will be a time when it will be finished. He knows he's not that person.
Who's not that person?
The actor. Whoever role he's...
You're speaking of on the stage or you're speaking of Krishna?
On the stage.
Okay.
So this is for us to see. So in the case of Krishna, he has his shakti potency, in which bewilders him. And out of his will, he bewilders him and he forgets he's Krishna and blah, blah, blah. So then a thought came to my mind thinking that the living entity is trying to be God and compete with God. But here we have that potency that has a good opportunity and chance to say, okay, in forgetfulness, you remain as you are now, and I can be God. I can be above you. Do you understand the logic?
No, I don't.
Do you?
Savas? Do it again, slowly. Not the whole thing, just the last part.
The last part. The living entity, us here, we try to compete or try to be God, or we're here because we left.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but here we have an energy of Krishna.
An energy of Krishna.
In which has a good opportunity, 100% you can say that, can actually take that role. Okay, I am God. You are not God.
Why not? Krishna's, everything is within Krishna. We'll say it the opposite. Is there something that's not within Krishna? So, why not? It's his potency. Mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. Knowledge, remember, and forgetfulness come from Krishna, including this thing that you just mentioned.
So in that moment is superior to Krishna, that moment that is taking the role of being...
Why not? Mm-hmm. Here's the Prabhupada story I'm going to end. This is what sannyasis call a stump the swami question. There are certain ones that are like outstanding. This is one of them. Swamiji to Prabhupada, is it possible? Krishna can do anything. Yes, yes. Is it possible that Krishna create something so heavy he cannot lift it? You heard this one? Yeah, okay. So it's a rhetorical question. It's a play on words. Because if you say, no, he can't, then there's something he can't do, so he's not God. And then if you say, yes, he can, then there's something he can't do, so he's not God. Create something so heavy he can't lift it is something he can't do. Not a moment's hesitation, Prabhupada said, yes, he can create something so heavy he cannot lift it. And then lift it. That's his potency. So, why not? If we say there's something he cannot do, it's the a fundamental refutation of impersonalism. God cannot have potency. That's something he can't do, then how is he God? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.